Welcome to the second show of our All In, where it's Rocky Mountain Media's second roundtable talk show. And today we wanted to talk about gender roles and stereotypes. But before we do, my lovely club members brought in some awesome musical instruments that they'd like to share, just a little medley. So we hope you enjoy. This is just off the cuff, original tunes that they want to share their talent. So chime in, guys. So that was courtesy of Anne, Nathan, and Matt.
I gave up on the little one, but it's okay. I got us the percussive sounds.
It's not in the right key.
Four chords.
You know, we're not going to pick it apart because I thought it was lovely. So thank you guys for sharing.
Music nerds in here.
Well, hey, I love it. I love music. So especially live music, and that's not out there anywhere. So
that's true.
It's even better. Y'all just created it on the fly. So thanks for adding that to today's show. But today's show, let's talk about, this is what we chose earlier, is about gender and roles and stereotypes. So who wants to go first and talk about this conversation?
That's a good question. I don't know.
I'm not first. Okay.
Should we start by maybe just establishing, like, talk about our pronouns or something? Like,
yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yep.
Not a little bit.
Okay.
You're right. So, like, what are your pronouns, and what has been your experience with gender so far in your life?
My pronouns.
Okay,
oh,
flashing.
Yeah, you good?
Yeah. You were looking at the mic, so
I was
the
like,
mic was
ready
flashing.
To start, and then someone was pointing.
So
I was like, is
the same thing.
What?
Yep, we're just making sure it's on.
Okay.
That you're heard.
Okie doke. What?
I'm so okay. Great. So, my experience with pronouns was just thinking that obviously I was a she, her, and then recently kind of being like I don't really know. I'm kind of questioning on all facets of gender and sexuality. I don't know what I am orientation-wise. I don't know what I am gender-wise. I know that I like looking more masculine and feeling more masculine, like dressing more masculine, but I don't know if I'm like trans or not, or if I'm like non-binary or just some shade of I don't know. So yeah, my pronouns I guess are she, her, but we're subject to change.
And that's a beautiful thing to be. I mean, that's how you truly get to discover yourself and how you want to show up in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, gender is simply the way we're born. Doesn't mean that's the way we have to associate or stay.
Yeah.
You know, I think as society as a whole likes to put us in this box, and you can't put people in a box. No two people are ever the same.
That's
so
true.
I applaud your bravery for questioning and for sharing that, because, you know, I grew up in the 70s, so there's definitely an age gap between the two of us, but in the 70s that was just so, you know, no-no, especially in the church and growing up in the South, of like, you're gay, and then it's worse if, oh, you're trans, and then it's worse if, you know, you got race, and I mean, there's so much more that you can attach to it that just made life harder and harder and harder for the society growing up in the South, and I'm talking about Texas, not all Southern states, but where I grew up, So I applaud that, your bravery, and I hope that our generation kind
of
paved the way a little bit for you guys to.
Of course you
and
did.
I say
yeah.
you guys as more of a, like you would equate to religion, non-denominational.
Yeah.
So non.
Oh, yeah.
Associated label.
Mm-hmm.
So, because earlier I said guys, and I really want to clean that up. Is for me, that's just a blanket term.
Yeah.
You guys or girls,
time.
It's
yeah.
like it's like saying y'all
yeah.
to
I,
me.
Yeah. I use my dudes.
Yeah.
I my dudes.
I use, it is Wednesday, my dude.
It is Thursday.
Thursday,
it's Thursday.
Yeah.
Like,
we just
yep.
announced our recording times.
If you don't know, now you know.
So I'm really happy that you feel. Comfortable to be able to share that, because I think it's really important. It's a big part of self-expression, and to be truly self-expressed. You know, there's some days I'll dress a little more feminine. There's some days where I'm totally butchy dress, which is generally how I like to do it. But when you look at me, I look more butch, but I'm actually more feminine. So it's a really a stereotype growing up in the South. Everybody's like, well, you should do like the butchy stuff and the more masculine stuff, and I don't like to work on cars. I don't like grease under my fingernails.
Yeah.
I don't like the traditional, like, put me in a box kind of things. I love to cook in the kitchen. I love to sing. Yeah, it's just,
yeah.
I'm a balance of both. And in fact, it's funny, as I have a friend of mine that she sees me as transgender, even though I'm not.
Huh.
I'm just me. I just show up as me. I don't feel like I have to put myself in a box or a label when my family and society, you know, still tries to do that.
Yeah.
So,
see, it's hard for me sometimes because I really have like low self-esteem, and so it's like hard to like anything about myself. And so, like, when I'm trying to express myself, it's like, what is it I want to express, and like, am I capable of doing it?
Of course you are. If you
I
say you are,
I, know,
I understand with the low self-esteem. I struggled with that for a long time.
I have friends who are like, the way you dress makes you look like fatter, and like.
Honestly,
if you dressed more like how I tell you to dress, you'd look cuter and you wouldn't feel so bad about yourself.
Oh my gosh.
And let me tell you a truth bomb right now.
Give
on
me
this
the truth
Thursday.
Bomb.
I'm ready. Those people are not your friends.
Exactly.
I am your friend. I think you look hot as heck.
Hot as
shiitake
mushroom. For all the kids watching, that's a kind of fungi. It's native in Japan. It's pretty good.
But like, your
it's
body
really
is what
expensive.
It is, and you're
wow.
entitled to take up space. And you don't have to feel bad for your body looking the way that it does. And like, I don't look around this room and judge any one of you. And I don't
so
feel
sweet.
That like,
same.
You need to be performing. Like, I, believe me, I get this too. So, like, my experience with gender has been like, pretty similar in that I think we're all socialized that you're cis until otherwise told,
exactly.
which I don't think is really true, but I did grow up that way, and for me, I am really very, very feminine, but I don't have a lot of money, and I don't have very long hair, and I don't always have energy for makeup, so like, and I go through the day feeling like I look like a fat butch idiot, and like,
aww.
That's not true, and,
no, not
and
at
it
all.
Has nothing to do with how I feel. I am very feminine, and I still like worry about being misgendered because it's important to me, but I don't know. I mean, I think that's something I internalize. I think I get misgendered every couple of years by very confused people.
Hmm.
Like, I don't know. I don't think that your concerns are maybe coming from a totally rational place.
Oh yeah, I know that.
Outside influence that they're not your friends. And
yeah.
I'm all for, I've helped a lot of trans friends back home that when they had those issues, I just take them out shopping. Like a prime example is Alan that was turning to Elena, always wanted to go to Nordstrom Rack. So the prices are a little cheaper. You can get more bang for your buck kind
you
of thing.
Nordstrom is cheap?
Nordstrom
well,
Rack
is
cheaper.
Rack.
I was about to be like,
Nordstrom Rack, the
oh
outlet.
My.
Yeah, no, we had an outlet store, so it was even cheaper than like Nordstrom Rack. So you really got good deals. Like she went away with like, oh my gosh, I want to say like 10 outfits. And two pairs of shoes, and it was like less than $200.
Are you for real?
Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Wow.
Like some skirts were $3.50.
Wow.
So this was like an outlet of
oh.
the Rack even, so it was a lot cheaper. But her concern was like, I can't go in the dressing room, they'll never let me in. And I said, oh yes they will. you're identifying as female, and there's no reason why you're not in there to threaten anybody. There were a couple of women in there that were changing, but
individual like stalls, right?
Yeah, behind a curtain.
Then it doesn't
exactly.
But those fears can be so insidious. Remember,
especially in the South,
when
that's where we were.
Target boycott was happening a couple years ago. There were a lot of cis men in women's bathrooms trying to police women and say like, oh, you're trans. Every single woman that they harassed was in fact cisgender, and like that happening made me feel paranoid about using public restrooms, because I'm like, do I present female enough for you? Like,
I've questioned the same thing for me. Like, I've gone in a ball cap and somebody's like, you're in the wrong restroom. No, I'm a woman. I'm not in the wrong restroom.
Also,
I've been accused of that before.
I just have to pee. Like, if I'm at a Starbucks and someone is in the ladies' room, I will pee in the men's, because it is the same
And there's always more a longer line for the women's room. Men know how to just pee and get out.
By I think by my junior year, we removed all the gender bathrooms in our in the music hallway.
That's
fantastic. They all became the three back there became unisex bathrooms. I remember one day we're like, there's a bunch of guys waiting in line, also we looked over like, wait a minute. This isn't a guys and girls specific. This is a unisex, and we just like split the line in half, and it was like everyone's mind was blown.
Wow,
that's
the
fantastic.
Solution, honestly.
The solution.
People, we don't need to build third bathroom. People talk about like, oh, we need 800 bathrooms because people have so many genders. Like, no, we all have bodies. We all need to pee. Just let anyone do it. It's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
What are your guys' y'all's experience with gender? I feel like we've heard from this side of the table a lot.
Well, I mean, like, it kind of depends. I've had a lot. I have a lot of friends who are either gay or bi or somewhere on the spectrum at some point. And like, we're all comfortable enough where we're not nervous about it. Like, especially with a bunch of my theater friends and all that. Definitely between me and my friend Aiden and like that group of friends, I think we've kissed more guys than girls. And like,
nice.
It's never like a sexual or romantic thing. It's just a kiss. Like, no one's in us.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
It's not like the end of the world sort of thing. And then like, I've definitely been confused, and people have been like, well, do you see yourself as gay? And for a while I was questioning it just because I didn't know. And when I had made up my mind, I told them, I was like, no, I'm not, but I'm very feminine in my actions. I'm very flamboyant. Like, I like to wear skinny jeans and tight-fitting flannels and tight-fitting clothes because it makes me feel better about myself. And like, I don't want that to seem as like not manly. I just want that to seem as that's me.
I've seen straight men do that.
Yeah,
so
shouldn't have a gender, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, clothes don't have a gender, in my
men
opinion.
And flannel for everyone, and they look great. And tight jeans and flannel is a look. It's
like,
cute.
Totally.
Like, skinny jeans are. After I bought like myself a bunch of pairs, like 4 pairs. After my senior year, and I wore them all the time because I'm like,
cute.
These are
for
comfortable, and like I feel good wearing these. What is going on?
Like,
you can
leggings.
Thank male models for that.
Yeah.
They got
mm-hmm.
that fashion
you can
started.
Thank Pete Wentz for getting that ball.
Yeah, he was one of them.
All right.
Totally.
Yes.
I mean, well, so I grew up with two sisters, who were always super, like would dress me up and do all these things they wanted. A sister.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, eventually it got to a point where I actually started dressing myself up just for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought it looked good.
I bet it did.
I'm sure it did.
I kind of grew up in this household where they just like never went one way or the other, you know? So you could consider me non-binary in the fact that I don't really care what you call me. Just the fact that so long as I'm respected as a person.
I love that.
Do you have any interest in doing like a drag like as an adult?
I've done it.
Yes!
Have you really?
Yes!
Yay!
Do I have a drag name? No. I haven't done like professional drag, but I've like gotten all sorts of dressed up.
Oh girl, you can still have a drag name.
You gotta work on
this
drag name.
I'm
kinda going back on the as a kid sort of situation. I remember, like, you just reminded me of it. Growing up, and I was, like, maybe between six or eight, I used to hang out with my neighbor all the time, and she was, like, an older sister to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she was very tomboyish. Like, she had two older brothers, and so she did sports and did all that. And, like, I kind of somehow got the opposite end of it. I had an older brother, a younger brother, and then two younger sisters. And I was kind of just, like, in the middle. I'd play with a lot of, like, I played a lot of sports all the time, but I'd also, like, play house and, like, do, like, dress-ups with dolls and stuff. And I kind of, like, looking back at it, like, the end of elementary school, I was always, like, kind of self-conscious about that, because I'm like, if I was kind of very not masculine, now I'm looking back at it again, I'm like, well, it doesn't matter, I was just having fun as a kid.
You were well-rounded. You had a lot of interests. I think that's great.
I have a kid story, too.
Kid stories.
Of when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Okay.
One time, I really liked video games when I was little, so one time I went to GameStop with my dad, and I was, like, a prepubescent, so, like, maybe 10 or 11 or so. So it's when that time, like, when you can't really tell if you're a boy or a girl, because I had shaggy short hair, so, like, you can't really tell. And the GameStop employee, we were having a conversation with him, and he was like, okay, you sirs have a good day. And I was, like, so happy. I was like, Dad, did you hear? He called me sir. I was, like, so, like, happy about it. And then, like, I remember, like, growing up and, like, being like, do you think I could still pass? And I would be like, no.
Aww.
I guess I can kind of relate to that, because growing up in the 70s, when I was a little girl, I had short, shaggy hair. And my mom wanted it to grow out just based on the fact that every single person would stop her and say, oh, what a cute little boy. Oh. My whole life. And so she wanted my hair to start growing. She started putting me in dresses. Well, little did she know, I fessed up to this later. Mm. Little did she know, I would take a pair of pants and a shirt in my backpack and change the moment I got to school.
Nice.
Because I hated and still hate to this day dresses. I don't associate with that type of clothing. I don't like the way it makes me feel, and I just don't feel confident in those kind of clothes. So, yeah, she never knew that. But I fessed up later, but she never knew about that. And then what? Somewhere down the line, it switched for me. Even being a large-chested girl, I would still get called sir. And I went to a wedding. I was in one of my friend's weddings probably a couple of years ago, and one of her friends said, "Oh, you look so handsome," because I was in a button-down shirt, bow tie, and, like, I don't know, what are they called? Cargo shorts and some boat shoes. And I corrected her. I'm like, I'm not handsome. I'm a girl. I'm a woman. So I look pretty. So for me, somewhere around there, that changed. Mm-hmm. Even though I do dress more masculine, and that's totally something I wouldn't wear, minus the boat shoes that were so not comfortable and so not fashionable. but it's somewhere for me, it changed. So I don't like to be associated, like, you know, you're going to call me handsome? What?
See, I like being handsome.
And on the dress clothes side of it, I remember one of my friends, I'm going to leave her unnamed, but I dated her in middle school for a while, and, like, she's straight, but she's also kind of butch looking. She has the short, like, the really short hair, and she, whenever she went to prom and for homecoming, she wore this tux, like a full tux suit.
Nice.
And it kind of caught me off guard for a minute. I asked her, I'm like, well, why did you choose the tux over a dress? And because I just felt better in it. I felt more comfortable in it. And the guy she was with at the time was, like, super comfortable with it as well. So I'm like, whatever you wear that wants to make you feel comfortable and that you feel like yourself in, you should wear.
Could you imagine how much more fun we all would have had at prom if everyone was, you know, allowed to wear what they were most comfortable in? Like,
I would have gone. I didn't
right?
go
I have
because
a couple
of that.
Male friends who would have turned some looks. Like, I know some men who would look great in a dress if they wanted to wear one. Or, like, I know girls who got in. I have one friend who, whenever she gets called sir in public, her mom, like, just, you can see her just get that much madder. And it was very, oh, you're going to do ballet, you're going to be a very, very, very a girl. And she, like, has a deeper singing voice and got in trouble for singing her parts in choir with the boys and all this stuff. And it's just like, just
girls can be tenor.
Let them
live. Totally.
She did not wake up one morning and decide to have a voice you hated.
Yeah,
James, what has
kid.
Your experience been? I want to hear from you.
Really? I don't have one.
That's still
one.
You've never heard of gender until today.
What is a gender?
I've yes, no. Well, it's never talked about. My friends, we don't talk about that stuff. We just do whatever. We don't use pronouns. We just say, hey, there's no pronouns. We don't say names. You could forget their name and no one would know. We just interact. So
yeah, this is like a good look into the next generation, I guess. Like, you're like on the cusp of the starting of the new generation, and like if that's
the
how
next
the new
generation, Star Trek,
the great. Well, because he's still our a representative high schooler at 17, so.
Well.
And like if that's how this upcoming generation treats gender and treats like gender roles and how all that stuff, and we're in for a treat.
Yeah,
I think so.
It's Gen Z
more, acceptance too,
because there's no way to do something wrong or anything, because you just don't let you don't assume or anything.
Are you comfortable with all pronouns?
It doesn't matter to me. I don't know. Me personally, I'm fine with my. I don't know how to say
it. Sort of the pronouns you were given.
Yeah.
He, him.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say, but I don't know.
It's hard to say those things sometimes. And
well,
sometimes
I didn't want to offend somebody, you know.
Yeah.
But
I don't think that's offensive.
I don't
it's
know.
Okay.
Like,
it's okay to
it's
not know.
It's totally disgusting. Yeah, and then especially too, if you've never had a dear friend or a close friend who maybe associate with, like maybe by day he's Bob, but then you know when he's around you, he's comfortable enough, he shows up as Christy.
Yeah.
You know.
Well. We never talk about that, you know.
Yeah, so you may just have friends who, one, they either don't know yet or not comfortable, or it just hasn't come up.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times people are just kind of in the closet about their pronoun or about how they dress or about, you know, because it was for the longest time, I gave myself such a hard time. I'm like, well, God, I should be dressing different, or I should be this, or I should be that. That's one reason I never went to my prom. I was dying to go to my prom. Because I graduated in 1989, and in the South, you know, you wore a dress. No way in heck I was going to wear a dress. I don't like them. I wanted to wear a tux, but I knew, one, I was probably going to be the only girl in high school out of about 435 seniors who would be in a tux. I didn't know how to explain that to my mom. I didn't know how to explain that to my friends. And what was I going to do, ask out another girl? And she'd say, well, no. That's weird, you know, kind of thing. So I never went. I just went to help decorate, and I left before anybody got there because I was too embarrassed.
People sometimes say, you know, they talk about, like, the your comment about the next coming up generation and how, you know, our views of gender are changing. And all you telling me that story just makes me think, like, people act like it's such a new thing, but you didn't go to prom because you would have been painting a target on your back. It's not because you weren't there, and it's not because you didn't want to go. And I think that's so important to, like, acknowledge. And we've always been around, man.
Literally looking at Alexander the Great, okay?
Yes.
Come on, look at Sappho.
That boy.
Sappho gets gal-paled to this day. It hurts my heart. Anyway.
It's literally Sappho is the reason why it's called sapphic tendencies and why they're called lesbians, because she lived on the Isle of Lesbos.
Yeah.
With her good, good gal pal.
With her gal pal.
Now, I just want to say, from my experiences, we do compartmentalize a lot of stuff. We do not say anything. Anything that's on our mind, we, you know, just put it in a box and brush it away and say, ah, I'm fine, we're good, you know. And then we make a lot of terrible jokes.
And I think the more that we talk about it, the more we educate people. Because I'll just be honest, I have some people in my family, they have no frickin' clue. You know,
and
they'll be just like, oh, well, that's just a choice. And you can, my family still gives my mom a hard time.
Yeah.
It's been almost 30 years since I've came out. And they're just like, she really just needs to just change.
Oh,
really? You think I choose this? You think I choose for you people to discriminate every day of my life?
Right.
You
don't choose the harder path. Like, that hurts me for, spending so much time in the closet hating oneself and finally determining, okay, well, this is who I am. I have to live this truth because otherwise I cannot live. And then having people tell you that that's a choice as if you did not try and choose to be the other
something
way because it would be easier.
As if you didn't try to fit in.
Like, if it was a choice, people would choose the easy path.
And I think that's why suicide rates are so high in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll be a great topic for next week's show is I attempted at 22 because I was just so miserable. I felt I had no one and nothing, and just the discrimination was just too much. And it's really high. It's like 42%, I think, in the LGBTQ community, IA, if you want to add on the full part of it. And then for the trans, I think it's like 72%.
It's even higher,
So it's even higher. So I think now more than ever, we all need to talk about it and bring our voices to the table because we really just need to love more and accept more and stop discriminating and stop the hate.
Speaking of our voices and trans people, I'm so sorry, James.
No,
November 6th is the day that we can all vote, and
mm-hmm.
it's incredibly important
mm-hmm.
to be involved in the politics of the country where you live, especially when people in power are taking active steps to reduce the rights of other people.
And setting us back about 20 years.
Whether you are trans or cis or gay or straight, you need to realize that there are people and they are being harmed and we need to help them.
Agreed.
Go vote.
Okay.
I've already voted.
You do.
Good job. Good job.
So,
if you haven't yet, do it.
Well, I can't.
But
that's a different issue.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to say was, please talk to someone if you are having those
yes.
thoughts.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I had a friend who I didn't even know went through depression, and he went through it for like a year or two, and the only thing that kept him from going was, he's like, think of your parents, and that's why he's actually alive today, apparently. And
funny.
I just found out like a year ago about that, and it was like, really? You never showed it, because we talked every day. We just played games every day.
I think that goes with what you're saying about compartmentalizing. And
yep.
yeah.
I guess I think we need to normalize these discussions about mental health and everything.
Yeah.
And I hope you feel like you can talk to us,
because
I will listen to you.
Yeah,
it's,
and I was one of those few that I didn't tell a soul. I went home that day. I overdosed on about 130 pills.
Oh.
My roommate didn't know. My family didn't know.
Yeah.
I wrote a suicide note. I was prepared. I did my research.
Oh my God.
Because I was one of those greatly suffering. So you never know who's suffering. Because if you meet me today, you'd just be like, really? Because that's not how I come off now. But
that's
I made
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I would
I get
say
too.
It sounds really out of character.
It is.
I would say it was, you know,
I
murder
had my
or
faith.
Something that happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I had my faith. That was the one thing that no one could ever take from me was my faith. I grew up Southern Baptist. I don't claim it now. I'm way more spiritual as far as I don't believe. I believe a little bit of all the religions and combine them. But it's a really important to, when you look at people, when you listen to people, let people be heard, because I never felt heard, especially growing up in my family. And that was a big part of it. I'm like, well, who am I? Well, I don't make a difference. Well, I don't even know why I'm here. Well, why am I here? And that's where it started snowballing for me. So I never shared with anyone, not a soul, until after the fact, and I'm only here because of the grace of God.
Hmm.
I puked
so
up enough
glad
pills.
You're here.
Me too.
I am
that's
so glad you're here, Dina.
Thank
yeah.
you.
I can only imagine the things that you have accomplished between then and now, and
for real.
Knowing you now is a gift, and I'm sure that all those days have been just equally incredible for
and like
humanity.
Talking about it is one of those big things that helps a lot. Like in my house, as a middle child, I didn't have a voice really. It was my older brother was always like excelling and achieving stuff, because he was the first to do stuff. And then like my younger brother and my younger sister were the two babies, so they got everything, and I just kind of was like self-sufficient in the middle. And like when I talk, like when we talk about mental health now at the table with my family, they like my dad still doesn't like fully understand how to handle the like the mental health stuff, so he doesn't like the join in the conversations really, or he has some things that like don't really agree with. And then my mom's just like, she wants to hear it. And so, like, I never had a person to talk to, but as I talk to it more now, like, I think I've told most of my friends now how it's all went down. And after talking about it and, like, expressing my beliefs about myself and sharing my story, it really helped me a lot. And maybe it's the star sign Cancer in me saying that if you get hurt, someone else is going to blame it on themselves, and you don't want anyone else to feel bad for you.
Yeah.
That's very middle childish.
Well, no, that's me,
so
too.
So, like,
it's like, I don't want
to. That was the biggest thing for me. I don't know. Something's keeping me here. I'm here now.
I'm glad
good.
We're
I'm glad you're here.
Yeah,
and that's why I share my story, is I hope it makes a difference for someone else. I hope it makes an impact. Even if it's just one person, it's worth me being vulnerable enough to share it.
The vulnerability is really hard.
Yep.
Because I've, like, opened up before, and I haven't been well received.
You will in this club, and
yeah.
you will in this college.
I know, but, like, I've had, like, experiences where I thought it was, like, a safe place, and then it wasn't.
Well, yeah,
first
then you
and
close
foremost,
for good, normally.
I'm sorry you didn't get received, and I'm sorry they didn't get you on your level, and just accept who you are perfectly just as you are.
No, they tried to fix me, but really
yep.
what they were doing was just attacking me.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds horrific.
People act out of fear
yeah, well,
instead of love.
What made it worse at the time was, it was actually, I was
sharing a room with them at Comic-Con.
Oh.
I had never been drunk before. Uh-oh. And so they decided, oh, well, she's, you know, such a goody two-shoes. I was 18 at the time, and I've always kind of been the goody two-shoes. So they decided, well, you know, they got me drunk, and then they just started, like, going in on how, like, how terrible it was and how all my, like, relationships with people I loved were unhealthy and bad, and it just wasn't great.
My heart just wants to cry for you for that, because no one should have to go through that. And I'm so sorry that you did experience that. So what I hope going forward is we've created a little family for you here that you hopefully will never have to face that again.
I sure hope not. I've been a lot more guarded since.
Because
I'm 20 now, and that happened when I was 18. So I've been, like, walls on walls on walls.
And since, like, that was one of the big things that kept me interested in music, was I had those friends that I talked to about it. And it was, like, maybe only a couple months after the last attempt when I told my friends how it all went down. And, like, I was nervous because I'd never told anyone about it, and I didn't want to tell anyone about it. But I, like, we were lying down in bed one day, like, all four of us, like, crammed into a small bed, and we just, like,
aww,
did our little, like, our pillow talk stuff, and I talked
nice
to them about it. And, like, they were super accepting of it. And, like, it kind of built a really strong bond with me and those people, and the ones in choir and the ones in band. And, like, it kind of made a second family for me where I could go and talk to them about that stuff, especially that stuff, and express myself through music. Because I never had a form of expression until I found music.
That's how I was with art. I've done art since I was 2 years old. My dad was always very abusive, but it was a great outlet for me to just escape and learn more about myself. So through photography, even now, I still do some form of art that I think is so important. That's why I'm such a huge backer of, like, the art programs or the music programs, things like that. So I love that you guys are so musically inclined.
Yeah, I was gonna, like, everything you were saying.
Love
music,
it.
I'm like, oh boy, I feel.
Yeah.
Music is definitely, like, my biggest form of self-expression.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you had a bad day, just, like, having
sit
a
down
little jam sesh.
Yeah.
Very
yeah
good. Like, whatever your instrument, just having, like, a jam sesh really just elevates you. It's
yeah,
just,
it does.
Like, feeling better.
I think that you touched on something really important just now, that by having the courage to have those conversations with someone, you formed these bonds with them. And I hope that it's the case that you feel like if you come to a place like that again, you can talk to those people. And I think that that's a really important lesson to have, is that that courage can really lead you to having that safety net. Like, now, I do want all of you to know, you can call me in the middle of the night. And
I will.
Same. I will never tell
same
you that you're fat and not femme enough. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I hope we can all, you know, find courage and find good places to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love that somebody just went by the window.
Was like doing,
he was
like
trying to
kind of
like
signs to me.
He was asking
yeah
if we were recording.
Yeah.
Yes,
well,
we were, my dear.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I love it. And that's what sometimes happens here. So
a big old
you
window
guys,
big
you
old
guys
window
don't get to see this part, but we get to share this part. So
oh,
there
he
is.
Hey.
It certainly goes.
Yeah.
It certainly goes. It does, doesn't it?
Sure does.
So we got a special guest that showed up in the room. So
oh, are we on the radio?
We are. We're recording. Yeah.
Wow.
What
a
special guest
journey.
Yeah,
yeah, I love it.
It is, isn't it?
So what we're gonna do is we'll end the show for this time. So thanks for tuning in for
and talk
all
about
end
to the Zoom next time.
Okay.
Tune in at 2 p.m. tomorrow. See you
that
there.
That is not legally binding.
I love it. Oh, thanks for tuning in, and we hope you enjoyed our topics about gender and roles and stereotypes and things like that as we keep digging deeper and sharing our hearts and our vulnerability with you. So until next Thursday at 4 o'clock, we'll see you on the airwaves on the flip side. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.